Welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast, which is coming to you today from our studio at John Paul Jones Arena. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. My guest on this Thursday afternoon is number 8 from the football team, Hassis Dubois. Hassis, thanks for making time for this. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. Thank you.
So it seems like an eternity has passed since you guys actually played a game in Charlottesville, though in reality it's only been 3 weeks. Saturday afternoon, you open ACC play against Louisville. Are you looking forward to being back in Scott Stadium?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, last week we were supposed to have a home game and it didn't work in our favor. So, I mean, we just took our skills on the road, played at Vanderbilt, and we're just excited to be back at Scott Stadium this week.
So what was that Nashville experience like for you? The team left on Thursday afternoon. Stayed in Murfreesboro on Thursday. Everybody moved to Nashville on Friday, played the game on Saturday, then got back that night. What was that like?
I mean, it was an interesting trip because it was a last-minute situation because we didn't know if we were going to play here in Charlottesville. And then Tuesday, we had got the text that we were going to Nashville on Thursday. So we just all had to get ready, pack ourselves up, and just get our mind right for the game on Saturday. And we knew we would be switching hotels. So once we left Murfreesboro, we were just like, all right, once we get to the next hotel, it's all about locked in and getting ready for Ohio.
You already have 13 catches this season, which is the most you've had in a season. And there's a lot of football left to play. You look like you're having a lot of fun out there. What's been the key for you this season?
Honestly, like the key for keeping me this season is just to step up because, as you know, we had two of our big receivers, as in Donnie Dowling and Andre Leroni, they graduated last year. So, and it's just my time to step up and take a bigger role. As you can see, is me and Alamide are trying to do as much as we can. But then you have the young guys like Terrell Janna. You have Hugo Obasi out there getting some rep. You got Devontae Cross. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to be as versatile as possible out there. And you have Tavares Kelly too.
At the end of practice this morning in the indoor facility, you were front and center among the players, as usual during the Thursday's hero presentation. How did you come to have such a leading role in that?
Honestly, like I did it my first time about, I think, my sophomore year, like early in the Thursday Heroes thing. And then Donnie Dowling kind of took over it. And right. Then I just, like, when the Thursday Heroes come in, I mean, they, like, their life isn't perfect. Everything isn't good for them. So I literally try to make them have the best day possible that they have in a while since, like, they're here for us. They're our Thursday's Hero of the Week. And we just try to literally just have them as happy as they can be and just be, like, elated while they're there. So I just try my best to do that.
So you're good with kids, obviously.
Yes.
Do you have younger brothers or sisters or nieces or nephews?
Yes, I have a younger brother, a younger sister, and I have a couple younger cousins, and I have, like three nieces and nephews. So,
what's been your favorite part of the whole Thursday Hero experience?
Honestly, my favorite part is just seeing all of them smile, like, cause as you like, we don't really know how their life is going. So, I just literally try to go out there and make them smile as much as they can, have them as happy, just like happy to be here, and just try to forget about all the past and like just focus on that moment while we're having fun.
The last two heroes have really been into it too. Last
yes.
week and this week. In the win over Ohio on Saturday, you had 6 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown. You also had a key block on the first of Alamide's 2 long touchdown receptions. How important is blocking to a receiver's skill set? And I'm guessing with your size, that's a big part of what you bring.
Honestly, blocking is a big key for a receiver. It just helps them, like, just like finish that role of receiver, because honestly, like, big plays usually spark from a block from a receiver. So like a receiver being lazy down the field would like make a touchdown play be like a 20-yard gain instead of making that block and then it goes for 80. So I mean, like, it's very important to us on the outside, so we try as best as we can to block as much as we can.
You and Bryce Perkins have developed a strong chemistry in a relatively short time. I mean, he didn't even get here until January. How did you two go about building that?
Honestly, like, once I found out he committed, like, I contacted him early, made sure, like, to know that once he got here, we was going to hit the field and start running, like, because I just knew, like, since he wasn't here, our chemistry wasn't there, and it was going to be, like, a fast transition, try to get as many passes in and get the chemistry down as quick as possible.
So at the press conferences Monday at JPJ, Alamide and Bryce were there, and they both talked about some work they did with a wet ball.
Yes.
And I think you were in on that too, right?
Yes.
Like soaking a ball just in case he had to play in rain again.
Yes.
Whose brainchild was that?
I mean, it was all of us put together because we didn't know. Like, we seen the forecast. We're like, all right, we're not just going to go out here and catch a dry ball all week. So we, like, literally just went to the shower, soaked about, like, three or four balls, like, as soaked as we can get them. And then we went outside, tried to catch it as best we can.
So you caught several passes in the Indiana game, which was – as wet as a game could be.
Yes.
Like on that final controversial play where the penalty was on the guy defending you, it looked like you had something in your eye and you were trying to get something out of your eye when it hit you. Did you have like a piece of turf or?
Nah, honestly, like during the play, like I was getting my release off the line and like at the last minute, because I usually wear a visor because my first year here in the summer, like I poked in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore a visor because of that reason. And we didn't have a visor on because it was raining down. We wouldn't be able to see. And what happened was he poked me in my eye. So I couldn't see out of my right eye at the moment. So I was literally running with one eye and I couldn't see it to the inside. So I'm just running like trying to film. Like, I'm like, dang, I can't even see out of my eye. What am I doing? So I just kept running. And then as I see Bryce run that way with my left eye, I'm like, oh, I got to go this way. And then that's when he hits me. I'm like, all right, man. Like, what is going on?
So that wasn't the only kind of wild play you were involved in. I know there was the spot that you, I'm sure, weren't happy with where they ruled that you had a first down catch, then they review it and decided your knee was down.
So, yes.
That was a first down, it's safe to say?
That was definitely a first down. Like, my body was literally all over the line. Because before, like, I was cramping on that play. So I literally was on the ground before I even, like, worried about my cramps. I just looked to the side, made sure I got the first down, and I was way past the line. But I guess they seen something different. So,
so it's one thing to earn the confidence of your teammates. It's another thing to earn the confidence of your coaches. That's been an ongoing process for you, isn't it?
Yes, it has been because I made a little immature mistake back in April. Like, we were at the spring game.
Yeah.
And it was a game-winning touchdown. I threw it up. Bryce threw it up the fade, and I caught it. And usually we like, back and forth with each other at in practice and everything. So I kind of threw the ball at Darius Bratton, who was a defending corner in there, and then I got the personal foul. So, and Coach Mendenhall told me, like right after the spring game, he was like, Like if you ever do that again, I won't play you. Or like, he just like, it's time for you to mature up. Like, you're gonna have a big role, so it's time for you to just man up and just become a young man and just do smart things on the field.
So that's like, he talks about less drama and more
yes.
work. That, and I think you came into an interview early in here and you said your new motto was shut up and play.
Yes.
So you are obviously a high energy guy. What do you like in the locker room, like before the game, as kickoff is approaching? Is there a lot of noise in the locker room, or are guys locked in? Or are you locked in?
You could probably find me in the corner somewhere, probably with my headphones on. But as the time gets closer, where we got to get dressed and everything, you'll see me with my helmet on and everything, going around, shaking everybody's hand, making sure everybody's locked in. Like, it's time to go all day. We just got to get ready to go. Like, from start to finish, you just see me try to pump everybody up as much as I can and just get out there running as fast as possible.
So your hometown is Irvington, New Jersey. You born and raised in Jersey?
Yes, sir.
You went to DePaul Catholic High School. How did you end up there? Were you there all 4 years?
Yes.
Did you go to Catholic school all through childhood? Or?
No, I actually went to public school all through childhood. And I think it was my 7th or 8th grade year. I transferred Little League teams because the Little League team in my town, they didn't have the age limit for me. So I had to go a town over to Maplewood, South Orange, and then I played there. And then I had a couple of my buddies, they came with me, and their dad, he was cool with, like, the coaches back there at like, the big schools, such as, like, Don Bosco, Seahawk
right.
Prep, DePaul Catholic, and Burton Catholic. So it was one of our games that all the coaches for those schools, they came to watch us, and they all wanted us. And then my parents and all my buddies' parents, they all sat down, talked to the coaches, and it was like, we're just going to pick the best school for them. And DePaul, it was.
Did you play other sports there?
No. Well, yes. I ran track at DePaul Catholic. I was going to play basketball, but my mom was a little bit too skeptical, so she didn't want me to get hurt. So.
Well, you had a basketball in your hands at practice today during the Thursday here, and you look kind of natural.
Yeah.
One of the guys who contributed to today's Thursday here was Kyle Guy from the basketball team. Are you a fan of our basketball team?
Yes, definitely.
Who do you like to watch?
I watch Kyle a lot. I watch DeAndre, Ty. Yeah. And here you see Mom and you all over going crazy all over the court. So I mean, me and Kyle are pretty close. We have a couple of classes together, American Sign Language and stuff. So we're like, we built a relationship that we're cool and everything. I see him at the football games. He sees me at the basketball games. So like, we have a little decent relationship between each other.
You had a number of good scholarship offers, I think Boston College, Illinois, Kentucky, Pitt, Rutgers, Syracuse. How'd you end up at Virginia?
Honestly, my top three at the last minute, it was Ohio State, Kentucky, and Virginia. Because, like, I remember one time, it was like a week before signing day, Coach Higgins had called me. He was like, "You still 100%, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm all in." Because I had like two or three teammates from high school. They all was committed to one school, and they decommitted and committed to Michigan.
But that was after the coaching change here, right?
Yes. That was after the coaching change.
So when
change.
Did you originally commit, though?
I committed in the summer of 2015.
So Coach London was
yes,
the head coach.
Coach London was the head coach when I committed. And I committed to him, and my mom told me, like, once you commit, just like, you just got to stick with it. Like, regardless of what happens, just stick with your decision and just finish it out. And, I mean, when I came here, my visits and everything, it just felt like home. It just felt like a place away from home. So, and then my mom always also told me that I was not going nowhere further than an eight-hour drive. So she,
there you go.
Yeah.
If I'm reading the roster correctly, there are four guys from New Jersey. You, Tanner Cowley, Chris Sharp, and Alamide. Did
yes.
you know any of those guys or play against anybody before you got here?
I knew of O, and I knew of Chris Sharp because my cousin actually played at Pennington Prep, which is near the Hunt School where Sharp went to. And I played a school that – I actually played Lawrenceville Prep, who we had to scout from watching the Hunt School. So then I knew – I watched Sharp on the field and everything. So that's how I knew him. But those are the only two I actually knew of before I got here.
So you're living with Noah Taylor, who's a first-year guy with a ton of upside. For people who aren't that familiar with him, I guess the biggest thing he's done so far is he caught that onside kick
yes.
at the end of what game was that? The
Richmond.
Richmond, yeah, he did a really nice job with that. But, I mean, he's like a Charles Snowden, tall
exactly.
and athletic. Pretty big upside for him.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, Noah Taylor, just he may be the mini-me of Charles Snowden. Like, walking around, you may think they're twin brothers. Only thing you can tell the difference is Noah has longer hair than Charles, but Noah, he has a motor. Like, as you can see in conditioning, Noah's always in the front regardless. He likes to run with the skilled players, even though he's an outside backer. So Noah has a great future ahead of him as long as he keeps going.
You have lit one of your former roommates, Devontae Cross, is another receiver. I saw Devontae walking off the field at Vanderbilt Stadium, and he was kind of kicking himself for dropping that deep ball to him. He's had a little bit of a trouble getting going this year mm-hmm. and playing to his potential. What do you tell a guy like that who's a friend of yours? Because obviously, if he can get it going, that helps this offense a lot.
Yes. We literally try to keep Cross as motivated as possible. We know he's having a rough start so far, but we know as a collective, like, as when he gets going, he's going to be great. Like, he's fast. He's very dynamic. He can catch the ball. And, I mean, he had that we all literally thought he had the ball when he threw that deep ball. Like, but when they called the play, I said, oh, yeah. I looked at him. I said, bro, it's your time. Go yeah. get it. And, I mean, like, it all works. It didn't work in his favor at that time. So when he came off the field, I literally told him, hey, I said, don't worry. Hey, he's coming again. Just be ready for it. So we just got to keep him motivated, and he'll soon break through that.
I mean, you're kind of an example of why you have to stay patient, because it didn't happen for you all at once. And now in your third year, you're breaking out. One other guy who's kind of in that category of someone who's shown it in practice, hadn't had an opportunity in games yet, Tavares Kelly. What can people expect from him when he gets it going? We saw a little bit of that on that punt return against Ohio.
Exactly. I mean, as you can see, like, we were in punt safe, and he literally almost took the punt to the house. Like, Tavares, he's a very, like, electric player. Like, if you just, like, I mean, like, it's hard to explain. Like, he's just so dynamic in every way. Like, you just, like, certain things he do that probably no one else on the team can do. Exactly. And then you just, even if you know he has speed, so you try to back off, he'll hit you with an intermediate route, and then you have to worry about him shaking you out your shoes to get to the touchdown. So he has a lot of attributes about in his game. So once he gets going, that'd be a big shot for us on offense.
So I've noticed that many of the guys who had the best training camps, like you and O and Jordan Ellis, are having big seasons in the fall. Have you always appreciated the importance of practice and getting that, or is this something, as you've gotten older, you've kind of learn more?
As I've gotten older, I've been becoming a better practice player. But I mean, practice is always the key, because they say practice is supposed to be harder than the games. So like, as this year, I'm starting to see it. Like in the games, everything's just moving slow. Like I'm a lot more tired in practice than I am in the game. Like it's just like ongoing. Like practice is like this year. Practice is a lot harder than the games. Everything slowed down. I'm able to see things faster and more clearer than I did in my first 2 years. So basically, I'm becoming a better practice player than I was previously.
What your position coach is Marcus Hagans, who played quarterback and receiver here. What's your relationship like with him? I know, you know, he's had a big impact on a lot of the wideouts.
Me and Coach Hagans, we're very close. He had a big impact on me because literally every day in practice or at the games, like when he comes around motivating everyone, he just looks at me. He waits for me to say, like, oh, I'll say it to him, hey, it's time to shove and play. And he literally knows once I say that, it's time to go. Now I'll get my best that I can that day and at that time.
So you are a sociology major here. How's the non-football experience going at UVA?
It's going well. My first 2 years were a little hard. I was still getting acclimated to the college level of academics. But as I've progressed each year, it's getting better. It's getting a little easier, learning some more, like, learning the correct way to study and not just to read over stuff. So everything is coming a lot easier as you progress in a couple years in college.
Any significance to your jersey number? You've been number 8 3 years now, right?
Two. Honestly.
What did you wear the first year?
80.
80?
Yeah.
Oh. Somebody else have 8?
Yes, Keon had 8.
Oh, that's right.
My freshman year. Not really. Like, I was looking into getting number 5 coming in, but what happened was Coach Mendenhall didn't allow us to double up numbers, and Tim Harris has had that number since he's been here.
Right.
So I was just like, I'm just gonna have to find my new identity here at Virginia. And then when I got it, I was talking to Kurt right before like the jersey selection. He was just like, hey, there's a couple numbers out there, but 8 would look good on you. And I was like, that actually would look real good on me. So, and I had the opportunity. I just went for it.
ACC play, as I mentioned, starts Saturday. Do the conference games have a different feel to them at all?
Honestly, not really. But you just know, like, the conference games, the other team is going to be coming just as hard as you are. They're going to play harder. They're going to try to play longer. But I just believe, like, our terrific conditioning staff, our training is just, like, relentless. And I don't think any ACC team can play harder longer than us. So I believe, like, this Saturday we will start 1-0 in the ACC.
So, I know you got to run. I appreciate you coming over here today. Thank you for your time. Good luck Saturday. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
We hope to see a big crowd at Scott Stadium for the Louisville game. To keep up with the Hoos on Twitter and Instagram, follow at UVA Football for information on all 27 of our teams. Check virginiasports.com. As always, thanks for listening. I'll be back with another podcast next week. Until then, go Hoos.